I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is.
Yeah. What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia. We have got a great guest today, Rachel Tipograph, founder and CEO of Micmac. We wanted to have women entrepreneurs who are reshaping the commerce and retail experience continue. So we asked Rachel to join us.
Two of my favorite things that are part of this retail blitz, I guess we'll call it, going into the holiday shopping season is one, the explosion of women that are entrepreneurs, not just in shopping from a design and product standpoint, but from a software and experience standpoint. I think it's really telling that women are trying to take back the shopping experience into their own hands, whether in real life, as we talked about with Amanda on the last episode, or with what Rachel's doing to kind of minimize friction in the e-commerce shopping experience. And two, I just loved that I learned in an interview you passed me that you recently did on Cheddar that the original name of Micmac was Tchotchke. And I thought that that was great, but I'm a little disappointed.
And we argued about that.
I know. We don't argue much, but we disagreed on that.
Well, we do argue, but
We save everybody.
The argument.
So some cool disruptions happening. I don't know if we would call them cool disruptions, maybe not for them for their cool disruptions, but continued sort of turbulence in what could presumably become an e-commerce platform on Snapchat.
It freaking should be an e-commerce platform. And the fact that Snapchat didn't go hard into actually creating ways for brands to come in and sell product automatically, like Rachel's product, is amazing to me. I mean, there's so many opportunities. And so today, Snapchat announced that Tencent bought a 12% stake in the company and now owns 12% of Snap. I'm sad.
I mean,
I'm just sad about it because I feel like Snap has and had so many opportunities to diversify their content from like kind of traditional advertising, and they've gone down the more traditional advertising route with media company partners and publishers.
Well, they went for the lowest common denominator, right? And scale and efficiency and looking to bring people in droves and volume and self-created or
but they'd
you know,
still have
droves.
But Laura, don't you agree that they would still have droves of volume? They just went for the lowest common denominator in format.
Yeah, well, they didn't diversify the product portfolio within that low-hanging fruit. And so now you're in this phase where they're obviously selling off stakes of the company, but potentially missing alternative revenue streams in the process, which I think people like Rachel Tipograph are trying to help them solve from a software standpoint. But yeah, it seems like it was a blind swing early out of the gate that they could have capitalized on early days when you have such a highly saturated audience of people, you know, engaging many, many times over on the platform multiple times a day, especially in the millennial, you know, age demographic.
Yeah. So I think it's a huge missed opportunity for companies that own the pipe, right? Like Snap owns their pipe.
Right.
To not have thought through solutions like a software solution like what we're going to hear that Rachel created. And I think that they still have the opportunity to be thinking down this line. I mean, I don't see any reason why Snap couldn't become a major commerce platform or software platform for
right.
commerce.
Well, presumably, it's the inverted model, right? It's starting with content to get to conversion versus Amazon starting from conversion with the potential to build out content. And so I think what Rachel's going to talk about is where scale exists and, you know, she believes starting with performance is the way, you know, all of these brands that start getting into the e-commerce space need to think about first. So with that,
Rachel Tipograph, another killer female entrepreneur reshaping the retail world.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Rachel Tipograph, founder and CEO of Micmac. Welcome, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
We're doing like a little bit of like what I would say is a mini series on the future of retail.
Okay.
So we had Amanda Latifian last week.
Yeah, last episode. And we're getting into our favorite season, holiday shopping season.
And you know what I love? We have two women that are going to be on the show, you being one of them, that is totally disrupting commerce and retail. And that just makes sense.
We control all the dollars.
We do control all the dollars. So tell us a little bit about Micmac, because you started as one thing, you've pivoted, now you have a couple of products and a studio. Explain Micmac.
So at Micmac, we create commerce experiences for the social video generation. I truly believe that the future of commerce is going to be deeply rooted in distributed social video. When I launched the company in June of 2015, it was the same thesis, just a different execution.
Yeah.
So people called us QVC for the Snapchat generation. We were an iOS app. I would release fun new videos where I had comedians hawking products. Everything was about impulse buy. But the business model didn't make sense. The reason why the business model didn't make sense is a big aha moment that I think most of the marketing and retail world has realized, which is the app boom is over. What happens with apps is you have to sink costs into customer acquisition, customer retention, plus for me, video production and not owning my inventory.
Yeah.
I was making pennies on every transaction.
Yeah.
So the model only could work at insane scale.
Yeah.
And you see any company like mine that tried to go mobile app first, either change their business model or die.
Do you have people that you consider competitors?
No. Like, you mean in the current business model, the old business model?
No, the current business model.
No. So
was there in the old business model?
I mean, in the old business model, at the end of the day, my competitor was Amazon.
Right. Well, like, everyone's competitor is Amazon.
Yeah, you're not the only one with that problem right now. Yeah.
Exactly. You would discover things on Micmac.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't control the fact that you would find some, you know, black market third party pricing on Amazon.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Okay. So that was the old business model. What's the new business model?
So the new business model is, listen, if I'm right, which I'm betting my entire career on being right, the future of commerce is going to be deeply rooted in distributed social video. No one disagrees with me. It's why we've now worked with over 300 brands. The challenge is, if everyone believes I'm right, what's preventing everyone from operating like Micmac today?
I totally agree. And why wouldn't Amazon just buy you?
Bezos, are you there? So for us, we went on this R&D quest. And what I wanted to understand is if some of the biggest brands in the world were working with us or wanted to work with us, what was preventing them from operating like Micmac today? And what I learned is that every company has the same three pain points. Pain point number one, video production. People feel like it's either too expensive, it takes too much time, or it's the opposite. They've been creating all this video content.
And they don't know how to use it.
It's not driving their bottom line.
That's right.
And now they're like, huh, maybe we've been creating the wrong types of video content.
So we need to beat the shit out of that in a few minutes.
Yep.
Keep going. I like this. Okay,
number two. Pain point number two, attribution. At the end of the month, everyone reports last click. As a result, it's impossible for people to answer the question of which video drove a sale and why.
Yep.
And then pain point number three, my favorite one. In the year 2017, the most progressive brands in the world still say to me that social media is still a small piece of their overall e-com conversion. And if they are seeing it, it's only coming from paid. And what that's about is the friction that exists today between engaging with social content and that end checkout experience. So when every brand is saying the same thing to me, I'm like, all right, it's clear. I need to go build software to solve those problems. Mm. So today, you come to Micmac to license our software to solve those problems. I'll talk about our main product, which is called Micmac Attach. It's a commerce layer for vertical video content experiences. As a result, the primary use case is in environments like Instagram Stories and Snap. But it's a web application, so it actually can live anywhere that you put a URL.
So can you, like, just be, if we're going to break it down into layman's terms, because sometimes my grandmother listens to the show.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through what that looks like from the consumer standpoint before you kind of dig into the software needs and why this is a tremendous white space for you from a software standpoint?
Totally. So let's take my client at Bose. You are following Bose on Instagram. You are looking at their Instagram story, and there's a call to action to swipe up. You swipe up, you're brought into Micmac Attach. Here, you can watch endless product videos. You can hit more info, see more product information. So that's product name, price, description, photography. You hit add to cart, and boom, that item goes directly into Bose's cart. Now, the reason why we brought this product to market is that when environments like Instagram Stories and Snap came out, partners were just linking to their regular old product pages. They were experiencing 90% bounce rate. Why? You're going from these highly engaging vertical video content experiences to your boring, static, more often than not optimized for mobile product landing page.
Let's just throw a mic drop right in there.
So, listen, in this ecosystem, there's obviously a lot of people that are in this space. Every other company and thought leader in this space has been focusing on what I call the pre-click, pre-swipe. So how do we optimize everything that's happening in feed, from content, from targeting, from ad buying? Well, guess
right.
what? All that's freaking meaningless
yep.
if the other side is broken.
Yes!
Totally. Yes, so preach.
I'm focusing on the other side.
Yeah, and no one else really knows how to connect it.
Nope.
What are some of the numbers you're seeing early days by minimizing the layers deep I need to go from that initial experience?
Yep. So we've completely inverted the bounce rate. So most people experience 90% bounce rate. With Micmac, you'll experience 10.
Wow.
Right?
So let's pivot to the content space, Alexa, because I think you had some great points around why these dots need to be connected.
Yeah.
So my business is two parts. One is software service, what we were just talking about. And then the other part is creative services, which we call Micmac Studios. All of my software clients touch Micmac Studios in at least one way, which is optimizing their own creative. Because if you give me shit creative, you will get shit results. My software can't fix shit creative.
Right.
So we need to fix it before.
Hello. Hello. I just want everyone to hear that.
My software can't fix shit creative. So we have to fix it before it goes into my software. So that will always happen. And we build that into sort of our offering. 50% of my clients use us for original creative. Why? We've created thousands of product videos. We've flighted millions of video views against them. I can tell you what causes someone to hit buy within nearly every consumer packaged goods subcategory.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. So, one of my brand partners is Dr. Brand Skincare, family-owned skincare company in Miami, doing very well in revenue, also available at Sephora and Ulta. They have a product called Magnetite. It's perfect for the world that we live in. So it looks like a mud mask. The piece of creative has two girls. They're each putting the mask on each other, and they're literally doing it for the first time. So their reactions are completely genuine. And if you ever put this mask on, your face starts to tingle immediately. And you have to keep it on your face for 5 minutes, and then you remove it with a magnet. And you watch it come off. So you see the entire transformation from beginning to end. And we did it in 5-second video clip, 10-second, 30-second, just like different variations. And we have the genuine reactions.
I wish you guys would have done that in the studio today. We could have done an Instagram story.
I need good skincare.
Dr. Brand Skincare. So there's a formula, and we know exactly what needs to happen within the first quartile, second quartile, third, and fourth. Mm. And we do it over and over and over again. Mm. It's why I quit my job at Gap and fell in love with the infomercial industry. There's a freaking formula.
There are few people who really understand that content truly is the sticky to brand, product, or purchase, except Jeff Bezos, right? He mm-hmm. early on totally understood it. Now I still hear marketers saying, we have to do great content. We have to do great content. But there is no connection between that content and the bottom line. Why? When you talk to a marketer, what is the disconnect?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that equation still so hard to create and to also kind of like operationalize in a marketing team?
Mm-hmm. So when I was at Gap, the marketing leadership team like never cared about direct response creative. They didn't even see it. But that was what was driving the bottom line.
Yeah.
You want to know what's completely changed that? The mobile phone.
Yep.
So if you just think about Facebook feed, Facebook has now said to the world, hey, the future of brand marketing is direct response marketing. You will see a Bud Light Super Bowl spot next to an electric razor for 50% off video
right.
in the same feed.
Right.
So DR marketing now is brand marketing. But for a CMO...
Wait, can you go back? Repeat that.
Yeah. So the mobile feed has collapsed the marketing funnel because you will have a...
I'm pumping my... I'm looking at Rachel right now and literally pumping my fist.
Yeah. If everyone were to open up their Facebook app right now, you would see a beautiful piece of creative produced by Wieden and Kennedy or Droga5. And it's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. Yep. Next to a really shitty razor ad or mattress company ad.
Yep.
15 years ago, that would have never happened.
Never.
In media, the Droga5 creative would be in premium television or an aspirational magazine. Yep. And that mattress would be in the back of the Village Voice.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's all in one place now.
Yep.
No one gives a fuck.
Nope.
And CMOs have to start not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, they actually have to give a fuck and fight harder and understand right. that not only has the funnel collapsed, it's gotten narrower,
mm-hmm.
right? So the path from mm-hmm. one place to the next is so much faster. And what you've done is accelerated it even more.
Mm-hmm.
So can I ask a question, Rachel? Because it's super fascinating because, you know, there's still this fork in the road in terms of brands who are still very focused on brand building and then others that are obviously gone the way of performance marketing, obviously depending on what category and your which probably leans more towards the latter. But are there brands who are talking to you saying, since this whole funnel has collapsed, what attributes or best practices can we take from those product videos, presumably things that get people to click faster, knowing attention spans are shrinking and feeds are moving faster and all those sorts of things, so that we can, in the first 3 seconds of a brand video, for example, start to drop more explicit direct hits on what that messaging may be, maybe not necessarily selling a product, but a direct response or behavior we want to elicit based on some of the best practices you've learned from e-commerce. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Listen, when you work with Micmac as a software client, our first kickoff call, I'm like, I'm giving you the keys to the castle. Like, literally, you can go fire your creative agency now because I'm telling you exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And it's highly applicable. And I'll say it here. Like, here is free knowledge. Go tell me if I'm wrong. I encourage you to go produce videos this way and tell me if I'm wrong. So first and foremost, and it's, again, the reason why I quit my job at Gap, it's what psychologists call a parasocial relationship. When you have a host, like Flo from Progressive, you begin to build an emotional connection with that person through repetition. And psychologists call it a parasocial relationship because you, the viewer, believe that I, the host, am your friend. And when you buy from me, you get the same emotional benefit as friendship. So
yes.
Put a freaking human in your video and do it often through repetition, and you will begin to build that brand friendship relationship with the viewer. That's one. Two, in the first 3 seconds, put the product in full view. You wouldn't believe how many creative assets come across Micmac where it takes 7 to 15 seconds to see the product.
Wow.
We live in a world where most people don't even watch the first 3 seconds of a video.
Right.
Right.
And then lastly, color and optimism. If you put black and white creative out and do an A-B test against color creative, I promise you color creative is going to perform better.
That's really interesting. I mean,
those three simple things.
Obvious.
Yeah, those three simple things.
So you said something that I wrote down earlier that I wanted to ask you because I'm obsessed. Micmac in audio. Because when you talk about, what did you call it? Para-relation?
Parasocial.
Parasocial.
Yeah. I mean, this is the definition of it. Yeah.
It is in podcasting.
You guys I heard you do the commercials.
Yeah.
The parasocial relationship.
So why aren't we doing this with you?
I know. Listen.
We're talking to Panoply.
My biggest investor is, and you know this, is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh, well, he's going hard into audio.
Hard
into audio.
Why? Because right now, and I'm not saying what you guys do is easy, but there's very little competition, right? So investing in audio right now, you're getting it on the ground floor.
Yes, 100%.
And you're going to get someone to listen for 40 minutes because the average U.S. commute is 40 minutes. And you are going to build such a deep emotional connection with your audience. You're already doing it.
We're already doing it.
Yeah.
We're all doing it.
So, I mean, I should advertise on this show.
No, but you should, well, you like, should advertise. But I'm talking about Micmac. So Micmac Attached should be in audio.
I know.
So, in fact, we were just on a panel with a guy who has a, you need to look this up, who has a company called Instramatic. I mean, he's basically doing clickable audio ads. Yes.
Yeah.
Micmac should be going hard.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He's a cool guy. Stas, I'm sorry, but I just found your competition.
Yeah, watch out.
I mean, seriously.
I'm very competitive.
But that's where you should be. I mean, like, cause no one's actually figured out how to take the... Forget, let's just call it live reads right now. Just live reads, because there's a lot of cool creative spaces that we can do with host reads and lots of cool content and audio. But the fact that there is no clickable, and you people are listening on their mobile phone for the most part, until we get like everyone listening in their car without their phone.
But I'd also love to know, in this, in the same sort of behavior you're figuring out from visual cues, right? You talked about
what are the audio cues?
Color. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Verbal.
What are sort of those key triggers or mnemonics or phrases, or, you know, there are certain things that Alexa and I are building equity in around things that we'll do in a few minutes, like our favorite kill by DIY, where when people start identifying with those things, what would you call it, Alexa? Audio identity or language identity that people, verbal, you know, have synonymous with the show. So, it's super interesting.
Wait, can we build this with you? I want to build
we
this.
We can test it, yeah.
Can we test it on our show? Yeah. Can we pilot this? Yeah, I'm dead serious. We're going to pilot this. Because I also would love to know, because, well, Apple Podcasts only gives, do you know this?
Yeah, like, virtual purchases, the amount of revenue.
Well, no. But they only give podcast networks and podcast hosts, you only know certain amount of information. Mm-hmm. They hold back all the data. Now they're going to be releasing more data this fall, but it's still like not what you need. If you had your software in this space, we could start looking at not just download times and understanding like day parts. We could start actually dissecting content and understanding audiences in a totally different way in the actual content, not just the ad content.
Well, and are you,
while you're talking,
am I an enthusiast? Why are you not as enthusiastic?
No, I'm bringing up, we launched a new product today in beta with one of our clients. That would be ripe for you guys in this context. So while we keep talking, I'll pull it up.
So
the one thing, and I think it's really important, because Alexa and I have been on a crusade to basically, you know, kind of make sure this industry does not bastardize audio in the same way we have digital in terms of display banner with host reads and sort of pre-recorded reads, and kind of explaining that the contextual nature, as you alluded to, you know, earlier, Rachel, we're building equity, right? We're building relationships. This is a very intimate, in your ears environment. And for us, we are adamant that preserving the integrity of that creative and that context is more important than stuffing it with pre-recorded ads that become the sort of automated algorithm that we've kind of, you know, fallen beholden to within digital. So if we're able to prove that out, something I would totally be interested in doing.
So we created this product called Attach Rate. You'll swipe up, you'll be brought into this new layer. You can see endless amount of product videos, but there's this little rotunda of call to action. So right now I'm watching a skincare video, and there's a call to action that says, I'd try this. I can indicate between 1 and 5 stars if I would. Boom, 5 stars. Next one. Hold on.
Oh, so you're getting
her
deals.
Skin is goals. 2 stars. All of a sudden, a brand is collecting all this first-party data around people's emotional reactions, just like it's a little mobile game.
Yeah.
If you're highly engaged, you just saw before I served an email capture unit where you can unlock a deal. Or while all of this is happening, I'm generating new audiences. Uh-huh. So if someone said, I'd try this, they go into a cookie pool that we provide to our audience to go retarget.
So smart.
So that's just one of the 6 products.
But you could break down
out.
Content, so that's any content.
Exactly.
That's
so while
you're
people
saying.
Are listening.
Yes.
And I was talking about, you know, DR is the new brand marketing. We can be collecting all that first party data for you.
I love that.
So,
or we can also say, do you have a question for Alexa and Laura or Rachel around why DR is right? Why DR is coming back?
For me, interactivity is the new form of creativity with all of this short form.
Love that.
I actually think that DR in this capacity that you're showing us and talking about is actually going to upend and gut marketing.
If you look at any early stage startup or any of the darling companies that everyone talks about, their first marketing hire is a performance marketer.
Yeah.
And the powers that be, the 4 companies that control the internet / the world, also don't want us to be able to do that because this is how they profit.
That's right.
So like the biggest, I don't know if you guys have talked about this in the show or how deep you get into ad tech, but the scariest thing right now that's happening in ad tech that very few people are talking about is the fact that Apple is going to be preventing third-party cookies within Safari. Mm. The entire ad tech industry is based on the ability to cookie people.
Right, that's right. Oh, yeah, 100%.
So
yeah.
We have not talked about that,
yeah, but it's huge.
If they take that away, billions of dollars of companies are at stake, and we're all going to probably have to be paying Apple to do that.
Well, that's the whole point.
And that, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But I think that they're going that way with content. I think they're going that way with, right, content, like visual content, audio, yep, all of that. They're starting to pull back. So what does that mean? I think we got to go build our own pipes.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to your Ben Dietz episode, and that's what he said, yeah, right? In terms of, yeah, DIY, he's like, I want to build my own pipes.
Yeah, you have, yeah, to.
Yeah.
I agree.
Curious to know the Rachel Tipograph Micmac prediction for what we'll be seeing in terms of e-commerce holiday shopping this year.
Yeah. I think that a lot of marketers have done a good amount of experimentation across the different social platforms, and that they're going to say during the holiday season, we can't take a risk with our media, and they're going to go all in on Facebook and Instagram, mm, and the CPMs are going to be as high as they've ever been before.
Yeah, that's smart. That's
so
a good prediction.
I think that's going to be really interesting because that's where you are going to see conversion. That's what people care about in the holiday season. But because everyone's going to go all in, the prices are going to be insane.
Yeah.
So I would say buy Facebook stock now because it's about to shoot, shoot like crazy.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened yesterday with Snap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's freaking, yeah, crazy.
Tencent
right now
just bought 12% of them.
Yeah, because it's cheap.
It's insane.
Yeah. I was sad by that.
The other really interesting thing that I have found actually is that because people are so highly accountable for driving results in Q4, there's not a large appetite for experimentation.
Yeah.
So I actually don't feel like people are going to be really inventive. I think they'll be inventive with experiential marketing, but not in digital marketing.
And what are your thoughts in terms of DTC, you know, online specific companies and how they're strategizing against some of the big box retailers, which obviously come with multiple commas and zeros during the holiday season, in terms of, does that really matter anymore? Or do you see that volume still by and large drives the bulk of conversion as opposed to a smart content strategy, for example?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I think the big box players, the strategy is scale. It's encouraging people to increase that average order value by offering them deals to increase basket size and offer free shipping or click and collect. I think with direct to consumer, because they're competing for the same attention, what they need to do and what we continue to see people to do is that they have to band together. So I think you're going to see a lot of collaborations where people then actually are like putting, so I'm not saying I know this, but let's just say direct-to-consumer brand A has a Pixel. Mm-hmm. They have a like-minded brand in maybe a different category, luggage and fitness, right?
Yep.
They exchange Pixels.
Yep.
They go and retarget each other's audiences.
Yep.
They do a product collaboration. They do a sweepstakes. Yep. Like, if you're doing anywhere between $1 and $50 million in revenue, go find other companies that are doing $1 to $50 million in revenue with a like-minded audience,
yep,
create a product bundle, and go remarket to them together.
Yeah, no, I
that's awesome.
Love that. Ah, Rachel, so good. All right, so we're here. Kill by DIY. It can be in the retail space, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
What would you kill? What would you buy? What would you do yourself?
I would kill the industry standard of last click attribution.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Love it.
Yes.
I would buy the universal shopping cart. Mm-hmm. And
ooh,
I would.
What does that look like? What's the universal shopping cart?
I mean, right now, I would buy Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Or I would buy PayPal, or I'd buy Shopify, or I'd buy Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And DIY, I would launch my own skincare line.
Oh, you know what? I don't know why.
What's the first product?
I see you with Glossier as some kind of like board member or something.
Well, the reason why I say that is that everything that we've done at Micmac, I know the exact type of product that sells in this format. And I can absolutely launch a direct-to-consumer, social video consumer product brand, knowing what we know.
Wow.
What's your first product?
It'll probably be a product that removes oil from your skin.
I'm trying to come up with a clever name for it, but it is.
We already have one.
You don't look oily.
No, I have dry skin.
Rachel Tippograph, amazing conversation. Please come back on the show.
Where can people reach you for these free audio pilots that we're going to be doing?
My email is rachel@micmac.tv.
M-I-K-M-A-K.
M-I-K-M-A-K.tv.
And one plug, if you have the opportunity to go hear Rachel speak, go.
Yes. Brilliant, brilliant.
Thanks, Rachel.
Rachel, have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks.
Episode 20 in the books.
It's in the books.
I'm getting really excited for the holidays. I got to think about what I want to buy you now.
It's your birthday.
And it's my birthday.
First of all, I suck at buying presents. And I have been stewing over what to get you for like weeks. And I get to a point where I just get annoyed. And I'm like, I should just ask her. So what do you want? What do you want for your birthday?
I think I'll make you a Pinterest board. My birthday is November 30th, so we have a little bit of time.
That's too much effort.
I'm also thinking about doing a fundraiser for my birthday. This is a new thing I've been seeing people do on Facebook where they're donating to a cause for their birthday. So I'm thinking about starting something like that. So maybe it's something we can share with Atlandia.
Okay, I love that idea. So on that note, Laura's birthday is coming up. Adlandia, wish her a happy birthday. What is it, Laura?
November 30th. Total sag.
Thank you, Cameron Drews. We love you, Cameron Drews.
We love you, Cameron. Matt Turk, Andy Bowers, all of our friends and family at Panoply.
And Adlandia, keep talking to us. We're getting awesome emails, lots of great tweets.
Yes, we love the emails. We've been getting awesome ones from a lot of college graduates, people looking for their first job or their next job. Keep hollering at us at landiapodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at @landiapodcast. We're totally opening to connecting the dots for our listeners. Thanks for following, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.